Let's open God's word now to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16. We worship God in reading his word in Proverbs 16, verses 1 through 24. And the text for the message is verse 20. God's word at Proverbs 16, verse 1. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. The wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. In the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. This is the word of the Lord. We ask him to bless it to our hearts and lives in this day and in this week. Our text is verse 20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Beloved, we need wisdom for our lives, and our text this morning tells us where to find it. That will become clear in a moment as we get into the meaning of this text. Let's notice, too, that our text indicates where true happiness comes from. It comes in the way of wisdom, and that way of wisdom is trusting in the Lord. Everybody seeks happiness. Our nation was founded with the words that all men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And all people seek to be happy. But apart from trusting in the Lord, and apart from taking heed to the word of the Lord which God has given to us, true happiness is unobtainable and impossible to achieve. The world says Happiness is to be found in believing in yourself. Wisdom is within you. Wisdom is in man. As verse 2 of Proverbs 16 says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. That's the thinking of the world. All the ways of a man are clean, are perfect, are the right way to happiness. Verse 9 even says that when a man meticulously plans his way out of his own heart, and is ignorant of the overarching sovereignty of God directing his steps, he's unaware of true happiness. Those who are proud in heart and seek wisdom out of themselves and happiness through their own ingenuity, verse 5 says, are an abomination to the Lord. The Word of God says, whoso putteth his trust in the Lord, happy is that person. Whoso puts his trust in Jehovah is blessed. So let's listen to the voice of the Lord in our text, revealing to us where true happiness lies, in the trust and in faith in Jehovah. True wisdom is found in the Word of God. Our text says, whoever gives thought to the Word shall discover good. And this is the short and brief method of escaping difficulties in this life and dealing with the greatest difficulties when they come upon us, whether we see them coming from afar off or whether they seem to overwhelm us in a moment. This is the clue to the most intricate labyrinths and the difficult crossroads that God often brings us to in the course of our life. He that trusts in the Lord has found the way to handle matters wisely, and they are happy. And the Lord shows us that wisdom is in His Word. Happiness is found in trusting the Lord who's made Himself known to us in His Word. So that's our theme this morning, happiness in trusting God's Word, the manner, the means, and the good. When I speak of the manner of knowing the truth of our text, I'm talking about how we come to know that happiness as believers. And to get at that, we need to understand there's a translation issue in our text. Our version, the King James Version that we use in our public worship, says, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. Other English versions, such as the English Standard Version, put the first part of the verse a bit differently. Whoever gives thought to the Word shall discover good. And these two ways of translating this text, which can be translated faithfully either way, we need to put those ideas together and see them as complementary, not at odds with each other. Our version captures the idea of the words. The person, he that handles a matter wisely, shall find good. The other way of translating this verse, such as the ESV, actually translates the original a bit more faithfully. Whoever gives thought to the Word shall discover good. Because giving thought to the Word is the way to handle any matter wisely, is the way to meet any challenge in a God-glorifying way, is the way to come to any decision in the wise and proper way. Now, this word of which our text speaks and which is not defined beyond simply stating the word, he that trusteth or giveth heed or gives thought to the word is the word of God as it's revealed in the Holy Scriptures. And to see that, we can look at Proverbs 13, verse 13, which really gives the negative side of our text in Proverbs 16, verse 20. Proverbs 13, verse 13 says, "Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded." Where there, very clearly, the reference is to the word of God, the commandment of God, as it was inspired by God, and as it was written down, such as Solomon and the believers in his day had it in the books of Moses and in the histories and in some of the Psalms and in some of the Proverbs. The Word of God is the inspired Scriptures which reveal God's thoughts and His will for what we believe and how we live wisely in this world. In our text, handling a matter wisely or giving thought to the Word reveals several truths about the thoughts of God and the will of God. What that Word is, that Word is the revelation of God to us. God makes Himself known to us through that Word, and the very words of the Word are given by Him. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." God moved holy men such as Solomon and others to write His Word in human language so that the will of God, the thoughts of God, the character of God might be made known unto us. An amazing and wonderful miracle that we have the privilege again today of partaking of witnessing as we worship God through the hearing and preaching of His Word. And this revelation of God is sufficient. That's another aspect of the Word that is brought out. It is sufficient for any matter. And here's where I said our version helps us understand the idea in this. He that handleth a matter wisely by taking heed to the word of God shall find good. The word of God is sufficient for any circumstance and for any issue or problem. It applies to our inward thoughts and outward life. It has application for our home life, our marriages, our daily labors, our relationships with our children and with our parents, our relationships with our friends and with our fellow members here in the body of Christ. It has bearing on our relationships to those who are not believers, and to those who are our enemies. The Word of God is sufficient. And centrally, that Word of God is Jesus Christ. It's clear from the fact that in our text, and using the common structure of proverb writing or of poetry, that ideas are laid parallel to each other. So the first part of our text says, the person, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Handling a matter wisely, putting trust in the Word of God, is taking heed to Jesus Christ. This is the word about Christ. The word is Christ. He is wisdom incarnate. By him, according to John 1, verse 3, was not anything made that was made. This word, in the fullness of time, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Colossians 1 says, in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And when he came in the flesh, we beheld his glory, John 1, verse 14. The glory as of the only begotten Father, only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Handling any matter wisely begins with believing in Jesus Christ. And we'll get to that more in the second point. But now let's notice that the manner of dealing with God's word is handling it wisely or giving thought to it. He that handleth a matter wisely, which is to give thought to something, to pay attention to it. It implies that effort is applied by us to think about the matter that is before us, and then to pause and reflect and meditate on what the Word of God has to say about that particular matter, whatever it is. And that the course of action that we follow, the way that we direct our steps from that moment, the instruction that we give to others concerning that matter or similar ones is in accordance with the Word of God. Giving thought to the Word of God speaks to the fact that we are to think on the profound biblical truth and reality that God is pleased to preserve us as his people in this world through his word. And that ongoing feeding on the word of God day by day is built into God's way of preserving us, built into God's way of directing us, built into God's way of leading us in his paths, accomplishing his purposes for us and through us. And glorifying his own name in Jesus Christ. God gives us many situations in life that call for deep reflection in light of his word. And all of us can think of one or two or many situations, circumstances, decisions that we faced in the week that has passed, or that we anticipate having to make in the week that lies ahead, or within the next month, or within the next year, that require thought, and that we need to think about in the light of God's word with prayer. As we take up or continue our daily occupation as a husband and father, as a provider, as a wife and mother, responsible for seeing to the needs of the family at home, as children who have to go to school every day and give attention to what we are being taught, as young people who are moving out into the world and seeking God's will for our life, where he is leading us, what his will is for us with regard to our career, with marriage, with where we will live. All of these things require reflection on the commands and promises and principles of God's word. And our text gives us two God-given guidelines for thinking in these channels. The first is to give thought. Whoso handleth a matter wisely gives thought to God's word. That requires pondering and reflecting, willingness to engage in the hard work of thinking about what it is that is before us. When we're faced with a situation that requires wisdom, our first thought is, I need to think about this. And that is a right and proper thought. It takes pausing and meditating on God's word to know how to proceed. And the second God-given guideline from our text is that pondering God's word is a journey of discovery. It implies that we will not likely find the solution to the thorny problems of life lying on the surface, as it were. But that word find speaks to embarking, as it were, into the word, knowing in a vague or with some certainty what we're looking for, but remembering that although it is in our heart to prepare our way, the Lord directs our steps. When we start to investigate a question, we may see little glittering rocks that appear like gold to us, but they're fool's gold. Whatever's easiest, whatever everyone else is doing, what we so deeply crave and want to do. We need to hear God saying in our text that the exploration of God's word will lead to discoveries that may be unexpected. Proverbs 2 compares mining God's word to those who seek silver and gold and hid treasure in the earth. And our text says in verse 6, our chapter says in verse 16, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. So first, give thought. Secondly, allow the Lord to lead as you delve into His word to seek the gold of understanding and the silver of wisdom. And third, I said there were two, but the third really is to understand that prayer are the digging tools that God gives to come to the treasures that are hid in His word and to the answers, to the good, to the God-glorifying answers to our perplexities and to our questions. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good. But all are taking heed to God's word and handling ourselves and our lives wisely is nothing apart from trust in the Lord. That's the second part of our verse, and this is the way it is in our version and in many and in all the other English language Bibles. Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. All depends on this, that we trust in the Lord. Without trusting in the Lord, God's word is nothing to us. Everything that we said in the first point depends upon the fact that we take God at His word. We believe who He says He is. We believe that the Bible is His revelation. We rest in the truth of who God makes himself known to be through the scriptures. There is no wisdom without faith. There is no finding good, discovering good, apart from faith in the God of the scriptures. Because this is not about knowledge of God, able to read the Bible cover to cover, able to remember at the drop of a hat certain verses or certain passages. Anyone who is able to read, who is literate, can go and obtain a copy of the scriptures and read it. Can even study it and think about it, meditate on it, ponder the weight of its words and the beauty of its language. But apart from faith, the manner of handling a matter wisely by taking heed to the word does not profit. Trust is a personal relationship with God by means of faith. Proverbs 28 verse 25 says, "He that is of a proud heart," that's someone who trusts in himself or in earthly things, ultimately in himself, "he that is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat." And that's an illustration of what our text says and speaks of as finding good. The one who is proud stirs up strife, makes controversy. But the one who trusts in the Lord finds good. And Proverbs 29 verse 25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Now this word, putting trust in the Lord, is describing the activity of saving faith. Faith in its essence is a bond. It's a tie. It's the tie that binds us as believers to Jesus Christ. The gospel tells us in Ephesians 2 verse 8 that by grace we are saved through faith, and that faith is not of ourselves. It doesn't originate in us. It's not our work, but it is the gift of God. That faith is the result of the Holy Spirit's work of regenerating our hearts so that we are able to see the kingdom of God, so that we are able to, as Jesus puts it in John 17, verse 3, know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. The bond of faith. And that bond produces two activities. The first activity of saving faith is to know and hold for truth all that God has revealed in his word, in the scriptures, to receive the scriptures as the truth, to hold for truth. Proverbs 16, verse 33, "The lot is cast in the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord." The smallest events are under the sovereign control of God. And out of holding for truth all that God has revealed in his word arises the activity of confidence, of resting in that word and trusting in the God who gives it. The little word in our text is important. Trusting in the Lord. It's possible to believe that God is. James 2 verse 19 says, "The demons believe that God is." They know that he's there. They know that he is terrible. They know that he's going to judge them. And so they tremble. Trusting in the Lord is the activity of saving faith. and that trust in the Lord is confident resting in Him and His faithfulness. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of Israel, the God of the promise, who promised from Genesis 3 verse 15 onward to the Old Testament people that He would send the Messiah. And the God who fulfilled that promise when He sent Jesus Christ into the world to die, to rise again, and to be exalted at God's right hand. Jesus is the revelation of the Lord, the God of our salvation, in whom we trust. We need wisdom and faith, and both come from God. The most profound human wisdom can be outwitted. Solomon's own life tells that sad tale. He was the wisest man that ever lived, yet he ignored all the wisdom that he set down in the Proverbs at the end of his life. When he married many heathen women who led away his heart from the Lord and served their idols, built temples to their gods. The wisdom of the world is believe in yourself, trust in yourself. Handling a matter wisely is asking how you feel about it or just doing it. True wisdom understands that that is the wisdom of the world that works death, because all the wisdom of this world rests on that which is earthly, what will ultimately perish, die, and in the last day be burned up. Psalm 39, verse 5, "Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Every man at his best is altogether vanity." So wisdom, true wisdom, handles a matter in self-distrusting dependence, which is expressed in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 this way: "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Our text can be turned into a call. And that call is this: beloved, trust, put your trust in the Lord. If you are trusting in anything else besides the Lord, if you are under the delusion that handling a matter wisely is proceeding on the basis of your experience, of your understanding, of your expertise in something, of your long interaction with a particular person that you're resting on to guide you in future interactions with that individual. If you or I are trusting in anything except the Lord this morning, Proverbs 16, verse 17 is the word to us. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. Humble yourselves before God. Verse 5 of Proverbs 16, "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished." And secondly, cast yourselves on the Lord. That's 1 Peter 5, 2. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He will exalt you in due time. casting all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. And trust yourselves to the Lord, who gives us His word of wisdom and life. And trust yourself to the Lord, who humbled Himself with the lowly in Jesus Christ. Rather than divide the spoil with the proud, and in so doing, obtained unimaginable treasures and an unimaginable inheritance for Himself and us in glory. That brings us to the good. Whoso trusteth in the word, giveth heed to the word, or handleth the matter wisely, will find good. Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Is this too tidy to be true? This is where we are allowed to ask ourselves and to have reference to our own experience. Is this too tidy to be true? Have we never found that when we put things in God's hands, there is a happiness and there is a goodness that attends our life? God does not intend, and He never did, to create our happiness out of our own resources. Our resources lead to death. Verse 25, which we didn't read, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But God's purpose and will is that we feel nothing, feel that we know nothing, that we can do nothing and contrive nothing. He brings us to positions, to points in our lives, in our marriage, in our life as parents, in our relationships with our friends, that we feel beyond doubt our own lack of wisdom, our own pride, how quickly we set up ourselves for our own destruction, and how miserable our lives are when we rest in ourselves. And then in that need, we have two choices. And we do, as renewed people, as regenerated Christians, to look to self or to look to Him. Those who are not in Christ have only looked to themselves. And beloved, can you think of a time when you put your trust in the Lord for an answer or for a solution or for guidance? When you were disappointed. Luther put it this way: I have had many things in my hands and I've lost them all. But whatever I have put in God's hands, I still possess. In this quiet confidence, we find happiness, and we find good. 1,000 perplexing thoughts are scattered to the winds. God takes the place once filled by unquiet disturbances and self-doubt. Our soul is fixed on God and in the knowledge that He reigns over all with an all-seeing eye and with an all-powerful hand, and with an all-loving heart toward those who are His. And all the world cannot rob us of one word of God. Shall we not then trust Him? Put our trust in the Lord. Say, as it were, I will trust His bare word. With hope, besides hope, above hope, and against hope, for the small matters of this life as well as the great. For how shall we hope to trust him in impossibilities if we do not in likelihoods? And this simple trust enables us to look extremities in the face and to say with confidence, Psalm 2, verse 12, I am blessed because my trust is in the Lord. And the reality of Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8 becomes real in our life. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out his roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but his leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Beloved, this is God's word. Those who handle a matter wisely, who give thought to the word of God, shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, that person, you and me, are happy. Amen.